Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I am Gene Young, the managing editor of the Bishop's Bulletin, hosting for Jerry Klein this week, although Jerry will be along shortly with this morning's interview. He'll be speaking with Joe Rutten about the Faith and Business Conference that's coming up shortly, so you will want to stay tuned for that interview. We will also have a look at the news from this past week, and we begin this morning, as we do every Sunday, with the readings for this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Emily Leadham and with the first and second readings, and Deacon Bill Radio with the Gospel.
A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord my God, you have made me your servant, king, to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you, there will come no one to equal you." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the religious news this morning, youth from across the diocese gathered for discipleship camps held at the Broomtree Youth and Family Camp near Irene this month. The Diocesan Youth Evangelization and Discipleship Office hosted the camps, which brought young people from all corners of the diocese for faith, fellowship, and fun. Bishop Paul J. Swain attended and visited with the young people and celebrated Mass with them. You can read and see more about the discipleship camp groups in the August edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese shortly and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, after the Senate voted this week to proceed with the health care debate, Bishop Frank J. DeWayne of Venice, Florida, urged senators of both parties to work together to advance changes that serve the common good. The statement from Bishop DeWayne, chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development, said the health care reform proposals currently under consideration would harm millions of struggling Americans by leaving too many at risk of losing adequate health coverage and continue to exclude too many people, including immigrants. "We're grateful for the efforts to include protections for the unborn. However, any final bill must include that is, full Hyde Amendment provisions and add much-needed conscience protections. The current proposals are simply unacceptable as written, and any attempts to repeal the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, without a concurrent replacement is also unacceptable," the bishop said in his statement this week. During the procedural vote on the Senate floor, 50 Republicans voted yes, and two GOP senators, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, voted no, along with the Senate's 48 Democrats. The tie-breaking vote was necessary from Vice President Mike Pence as president of the Senate. In the shadow of the national health care debate is West Virginia, a state where a large portion of the population is living in poverty, where Medicaid is the focus and concern. Catholic Charities West Virginia reports that Medicaid serves more than 546,000 people in that state, a third of the population. Last year alone, 170,000 West Virginians enrolled in the program. Cuts to Medicaid and any overhaul of the federal health care law would be detrimental to West Virginia, said Bishop Michael J. Bransfield of Wheeling-Charleston and officials at Catholic-run Wheeling Hospital. It would be a monumental health care crisis in this state if this was to take place, said Heidi Porter, Vice President of Quality and Regulatory Affairs at Wheeling Hospital. We are in a state that poor, highly comorbid people have a lot of health disparities. They have chronic conditions. They are the people who have multiple diseases who could be restricted in terms of health coverage, that is, Porter told the Catholic Spirit diocesan newspaper of Wheeling, Charleston. In helping abandoned elderly people in Tanzanian villages, young people have learned to care for themselves too, said a nun who oversees the project that she began with Catholic friends in the U.S. 16 people ages 16 to 30 build beds and repair houses, among other caregiving activities, for the 69 elderly people served by the Village Angels of Tanzania project in two villages in the rural district in northern Tanzania. For some elderly people, this is the first time in their lives that they have slept in a bed, said Sister Dativa Mukibita, a Franciscan sister of St. Bernadette who set up the project in her hometown 2 years ago on her return from studying in the U.S. In that remote district in the East African country that borders on Rwanda, it is host to hundreds of thousands of refugees who fled Rwanda's 1994 genocide and suffered huge environmental and social damage when the camps were disbanded, Sister Mugabita said in a telephone interview from the town of Ngara. With a tradition of families caring for their own, Tanzania has no nursing homes or pensions to support elderly citizens, and many find themselves abandoned and alone, she said. There is a missing middle generation in that district caused by people moving away in search of work opportunities as well as deaths from AIDS-related illnesses, she said. One other news item this morning, the path to reconciliation between Canada and its First Nations people will ultimately be a long journey, but the road to healing a schism developed over 400 years needs to start somewhere. The Canadian Canoe Pilgrimage is a small starting point that organizers hope can advance the process. A project of the Jesuits in English Canada in response to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the pilgrimage set off from St. Marie among the Hurons in Midland, Ontario this week on a month-long, more than 500-mile canoe journey expected to end August 15th. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom. Now let's move on to this morning's interview.
This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Joe Rutten, who, in addition to his new job at Mount Marty, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is the executive director of the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity, the big faith and business conference coming up in just a couple of weeks now. And Joe, we have really kind of a unique way to go about this today. We're going to hear some clips from some of the speakers, past and those that are coming up this year, and give you a chance to talk about the event and about these speakers in particular.
Yeah, it's great, Jerry. I'm excited for the format today. It's hard because, you know, you can talk and give all the passion you want, but until you actually hear somebody communicate a message, it's tough to hook people, but what we got tonight today for you is going to be fantastic for those out there listening. So I look forward to hearing the clips and open that up a little bit to share with people what they can expect.
Let's give the basics. First of all, so in case people don't have a pen, or they do have a pen, they can write it down or put it on their calendar on their phone or whatever. But we want to make sure people don't miss this, because this is really these aren't frequent opportunities that we get to do this sort of thing.
You know, Jerry, they're not. And on August 10th, we're going to have an opportunity for our community, the metro, the diocese, really the region. We'll have people coming up from Kansas. Last year, we had people coming out from Montana. We got a whole host coming down from Fargo and North Dakota this year. But it has become an acknowledged and a platform for robust and serious conversation about how faith and business interact together. What does it mean to be a professional in the world and to bring faith principled leadership into your particular sphere of influence at work each day? We spend most of our day there. I mean, the reality is we sleep a lot and we work a lot. And in the middle of it, we spend time with our family too. But we want to see how those two work together. And this August 10th conference has a great lineup, Jerry. I'm not sure that we can top it, to be honest with you.
I'm sure you'll try in years to come. Profit and stewardship is the theme for this year. Again, August 10th starts at 11:30.
11 o'clock. We'll have Mass. And so we have Mass out at the Ramcota here in Sioux Falls, and then at noon we'll do our lunch and start the keynotes off. And we start with Mass, particularly because it's important as people of faith that we see a connection between the sacramental life and our beliefs and our work, how we live each day. And so we do kick it off with Mass. But, you know, there's a large Protestant following as well.
Sure.
And so sometimes the Protestants, they like it. They come and join us. Or if they don't, you know, they want to get another hour in at the office, or they're welcome to, you know, come to start lunch with us and start there. But this way, we get to kick it off with our Lord and the Eucharist and go right on into the tremendous lineup.
And it's a very compact day. You're done by 5:30, which I think makes it real doable for people. And one of the things that I think about when we talk about things like this is, I think people have a lot of fear about trying to mix these two things. There's a fear about that. We don't quite know how to do it. And that's the whole point of an event like this, is to help us realize it can be pretty simple.
Well, Jerry, I'm an educator by heart and by training. And really what education is about is providing an opportunity for individuals to encounter an experience that you've had that you want them to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I have experienced that, Jerry, where there is a fear in our secular society where we struggle with this relationship of faith and how it's supposed to live out in our personal and professional lives. And then we get into the professional side and it's like, I don't know, I don't feel comfortable anymore. Not just the personal side of it, but even the legal side of it. The reality is there are legal consequences now to the relationship between faith and business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be prudent, but we also don't just want to give over the field of the public square to secularism. We are individuals of freedom, and we have that opportunity to leaven secular society, to leaven the business community with our faith-principled leadership. And that's what this becomes, is an opportunity for people to come in to get a taste. It's just an afternoon conference.
Yep. National and really internationally known speakers, but also local. And this is one of the pieces I really love about this, is you always highlight somebody local. This year, Amy Novak, who is the president of Dakota Wesleyan University. And we have a little clip from Amy that I think would be a great place for us to start talking more specifically about today's, or about the conference coming up. Let's listen to Amy.
I think all of us are leading lives that are filled with lots of different roles. We are parents, we are children, we are mothers, we are fathers, we're siblings, we're workers, we're co-workers and colleagues. And as such, all of us get pulled in multiple different directions a lot. And I think when we talk about how to live lives of meaning and purpose, we have to really ask ourselves, what are we rooted in? And so we're going to talk a little bit about how we root ourselves in the fundamental tenets of our faith and use that to be a wellspring, to nourish us and to energize us and to inspire us to live lives that are principle-centered and that are focused on the gospel call to be the hands and feet of Christ to our world.
Now, she makes that seem pretty simple.
Yeah, I think I wish I had her mind and her ability to articulate the message.
I love the way she says that.
It's a beautiful piece.
And that's just kind of a taste of what she's going to expound upon, I believe, in her conversation.
Yeah, so you know, it's really hard because when you bring in, you put together a conference like this and you want to get a local flavor, it can be a challenge to have that local person. Particularly in our situation where we actually have them capstone it. Mm-hmm. They finished the conference.
Right.
And so when you have a person like that, it can be daunting because you have these two big, huge national speakers before them and then your local person. And so we've previously had great, great talks. We haven't had a problem matching them, but it can be intimidating and difficult. But I'm telling you what, Amy Novak can go on the road and she can run with anybody.
I believe you.
She is not to be to be messed with, but she is very articulate. I believe she has a great vision, passion, and ability to articulate and communicate that vision. And that's sometimes a challenge. People can have great vision, but if they can't communicate and inspire people to follow them, but Amy's got that ability, and so she will. She'll talk a little bit about this principled professional life and what does it mean to be a person of principle as a, you know, a husband, father, as a wife, a mother, but really, when we look at that, we think of vocations in relationship to marriage or the religious life. But, you know, we're called to professional life too.
Yeah.
And so if we are called to marriage, or we have this secondary vocation, a calling. And so she'll talk a little bit more about that principled calling.
I know she's going to do a great job. If you've never heard Amy speak, it's worth the price of admission just to come do that.
As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, and I wouldn't say this if it wasn't true. But really, you could just do a conference with any one of these speakers, including Amy.
Yeah.
We're going to give you the value pack of about 3 full days of conferencing. We're going to push it into about an afternoon.
Real tightly compacted. One of the ones that we don't have a clip of this morning, but one of the other speakers, Frank Hanna, who I think is fascinating. He wrote a book on the meaning of profit and wealth, that there's a meaning to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forget that.
See, and that's part of the reflection is we oftentimes don't step back and first ask ourselves, what is a thing? All right, let's say a VCR. Well, we just assume, we know what a VCR does, right? It plays videos for us, a VCR. How old am I?
That's okay.
Right.
Yeah, our listeners VCR. Get it. You're good.
Right. We 8 tracks. I can date to 8 tracks.
Stick with the VCR. I think you're good.
But, you know, what is this device, this radio for? What is its intention? What was it created for? And so when we look at wealth and money, we look at profit, we have to ask ourselves, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, once we understand what a thing is, we can judge its value and whether or not it's being used correctly. And so that's what Frank did. He made his money at a very young age. In his 30s, he was pretty much independently wealthy and probably never had to work again.
Wow.
And now a lot of people could lose their way.
Yeah.
Because wealth brings comfort, and comfort can bring, the ability to have excess in whatever you want and to chase the great things of the world and to lose yourself. Well, instead, he researched what wealth is. Historically, what is wealth? Is it money? Is it greatness? Is it honor? Is wealth financial only? Or is wealth more about well-being and being a whole person? Is wealth more than just something that we term as profit?
So you don't have to be rich to be wealthy.
You don't have to be rich to be wealthy, Jerry.
Which is
so
a
we're
good
in.
Thing. I'm
we
happy
can
now.
Be we can be wealthy. And so then he takes and he'll expound upon that and he'll say, all right, given what wealth and profit are, how ought we to steward, in talking about financial and economic profit and wealth, how ought we steward that for the common good and the benefit of our larger communities?
I think that's such an important thing for us to take time to think about, because we don't. You know, we don't. No. Even those of us that work in a regular job, if you will, we don't often think about that paycheck and what it really, really means.
Yeah, it can be very. He'll tell his story, but we'll all be able to enter into that no matter where we're at. This isn't like, oh, you have to be a CEO or you have to be independently wealthy to get value from hearing Frank speak.
Yeah.
Here's an example. I was told by somebody who I respect greatly and is in these circles, that nobody you bring in will prepare more spiritually over in prayer for their talk than Frank.
That's cool.
And I thought, wow, this guy comes at this from he wants to be the mouth of our Lord. He wants to speak truth. And he's going to do that in a very practical way for us. And Jerry, we are the model. Our diocese, I truly believe, is a model for this.
We're going to hear about that from some of your past speakers in just a little bit. First, we're going to listen to Michael Miller, who is your third speaker, who works with global poverty relief and has found a number of solutions in business and job creation. Let's hear what Michael Miller has to say to us today.
Entrepreneurs and investors help create social cohesion by bearing risk. So, and that bearing risk allows people in businesses to like build homes and get married and send their children to school and be part of the community. So business has a lot of contribution to the common good beyond just providing goods and services. But I think it's really important that business people think through their vocation in this rich biblical Catholic understanding of not only human work, but of the social nature of the person and how business plays a role in helping human flourishing.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you, how can this conference not be awesome? And you only have to pay $50.
Yeah.
You know what? If $50 is too much, I'll get you in the door. This is something that you don't want to miss.
Yeah. What I love about this is I'm not sure what the right, holistic is the word that comes to my mind, because again, we tend to segregate these things in our life. We don't think about them in
Jerry,
in
you
the
should
whole.
Be my speaker year's our local person. You got it.
I'm kind of inspired by what we're hearing this morning, and I hope others are too.
You know, Jerry, and what people don't often see is all the behind the scenes work that goes into crafting. I like that word, to craft and be an architect of these experiences. Mm-hmm. Anybody can put on a conference, but if you think it through and you work and you plan and you hopefully the goal is that you connect the pearls in this beautiful experience that you have this. And I think that's what we have here is we have the culmination of a couple of years of wonderful conferences that have led us to this point where now we can sit down and we can talk about the whole person in relationship to business and faith. And it's not simply something that talks about greed and the rich capitalist and self. No. This is a whole different way of looking at the economy and looking at the human person in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we're talking about the Faith and Business Conference coming up on August 10th. If you like, you can go to the website and get signed up or
CMBFSF.org.
That's probably the best way.
CMBFSF.org. That is the best way. And if you just Google search Faith and Business Conference, that will bring it up on a Google search if you are having struggles. But just jump online, jump on the website. That'll get you to registration. It's only $50. And I'm telling you, you can wake up in the morning. You can take a day off of work. You can get professional leave. Your boss will probably pay you to come to this thing. You'll get professional leave. Come on down here and hear these fantastic speakers.
So this is not the first year you've done this. And next we're going to hear from a couple of guys who have been here, who have experienced this conference, who were your speakers in past years. First one we're going to listen to is Andreas Widmer, who is, a national, internationally known businessman. Yep. Fascinating to hear what he has to say. Let's take a listen.
The secret of doing a conference and going to a conference like this is, first you might think, well, these faith and business are two different things, faith and work, what do they have to do with each other? But at the end of the day, think about it. Are you happy at what you do at work? Do you enjoy work? Are you a person who goes to, who's unbearable on Sunday evening because you have to go to work the next day? Well, if you integrate your faith and your work takes on a meaning far beyond just making a buck, just being there and putting in your hours, or even just to pursue a profit or so, but it becomes something truly meaningful, something that we say that it's something that, where you don't just make more, but you become more as a human being. And so there's actually that fruit that if you integrate your faith in your work, that you actually start to love working.
How about that?
Jerry, we're done. Mic drop. I mean,
but we're not. There's
more. I did see you shaking your head over there about that Sunday into Monday Jerry. We need to retreat here to reflect upon the meaning you find in what you're doing here today.
If we're all honest, there are particular Sundays where we all do that, and that's why it's important to talk about it.
And Jerry, one of our mottos for the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity and for our events, this Faith and Business Conference, now remember, is for everybody, men and women in professional life. It's open to anybody attending, Catholic, Christian. But one of our mottos is Sunday into Monday. Mm-hmm. And it is that reflection that says we need to break down the divide between our Sabbath, what we do on Sunday for the Lord, and then what we do on Monday for work. They are not two separate experiences. They ought to be understood in an integrated manner. And so when we talk about happiness and finding meaning and value in our work, oftentimes it's because we haven't made the deeper connection to the roots of who we are as people.
Yeah.
And so we go on, we feel just like we're just at the grind at work, and there isn't a connection to why work matters in the first place.
Instead, if we can find a way, and I think this conference helps us do that, to look at our life as our life, not in its not in parts, which it's, of course it is in parts, but to look at it in the whole.
Yeah, exactly. And so the integrated life.
Yeah, integrated and balanced.
And balanced, yeah, absolutely.
And
so that's key.
We have one more. We have one more to listen to. And of course, he's kind of, I know, one of the key inspirers for
the Godfather
you.
This
is Father Robert Sirico, who has some lovely things to say as well. Let's listen to him.
I have to tell you, that the Faith in Business Conference that I participated in just really was over the top great in terms of the quality, in terms of the organization, in terms of the mission and intent. And I still come away enthused and remembering that experience very definitely. The people were so congenial and really a sophisticated program. And the importance of a conference like this for a community is can't be understated, for the simple reason that when men and women combine economic sophistication and productivity with a sense of faith and morals and vocation and obligation, this is a winning combination. And Sioux Falls, from my experience, has all of that in place. And this is going to augment that and energize that. So I really encourage people to attend and tell others about it.
Okay, then. That's a pretty good endorsement.
Yeah, that's an endorsement from a man who's greatly respected in these circles and was the inspiration in many ways behind our team's desire to have something like this. And he just simply said, you know what, if you feel inspired to do something, do it, and I'll come and support it. And so he was our first keynote. He kicked the thing off 2-3 years ago and has supported us ever since, has encouraged other people to come. Frank Hanna is what they call the untouchable, that other people oftentimes can't get him to come speak. And I had somebody call me from Fargo saying, how'd you get Frank? Well, how we got Frank was Father Sirico and Andreas.
Yeah.
They both loved their experience and were so impressed by what was going on that they both told Frank, you have to go.
That's great.
You've got to see what's going on in this diocese. You got to see what's going on out there in South Dakota. You got to see this community of Sioux Falls. These are great people with great leadership, and they're doing the right thing.
And we use that term Sioux Falls, meaning much bigger than Sioux Falls
absolutely.
City. We
diocese, certainly, it's a state, it's a region.
We have a quality of people here, and we know that.
Yeah.
Not that we can't get better, and that's what we're trying to do
with
an event like this.
You know, this is a process. Perfection is a process, and we're either getting better or we're receding. And so our desire is just to keep getting better. I believe that the Midwest is this cauldron of beauty, and it's just, we're humble, we're to the ground, we're and I think we can preserve that for the sanity of the rest of the world.
All right, well, we can do that, and you can help yourself by coming to this conference. Yep. Spread the word, too. Share it with others. Again, the website is
cmbfsf.org, and you can just Google search Faith and Business Conference as well, and it'll come up. August 10th, we'd love to have you join us.
All right. Be a great event. Joe Rutten, thanks again for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Jerry. It's my pleasure.
And that wraps up the Catholic Views program this morning. If you have submissions for the Bishop's Bulletin or have a topic you'd like to hear discussed, you can contact us at 334-9861. Take care. I'm Gene Young. Jerry Klein will be back again next Sunday for Catholic Views.